Welcome to Powerful at Work Radio, the podcast for business owners like you who value each person and desire to lead powerfully. I'm your host, Rosa Ponce de Leon, and it is my goal to help you secure your legacy and make a real impact by establishing a culture where all are empowered to be more creative and efficient without all the burnout and people issues. If you're ready to do things differently, tune in and join the movement. Now let's get after it.
Maura Neville Thomas is an award-winning international speaker and trainer on individual and corporate productivity and work-life balance. She's the most widely cited authority on attention management. The proprietary empowered productivity system has been embraced by the likes of NASA, L'Oreal, and Dell. She's a TEDx speaker, founder of Regain Your Time, author of 5 books, and has been named a top leadership speaker in Inc. magazine. Maura is frequently featured in major business outlets, including Business Insider, Fast Company, and Washington Post. She's also a regular contributor to both Forbes and Harvard Business Review, with articles there viewed over 1 million times.
Maura Thomas, welcome to the show.
Rosa, so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Me too. I'm glad we were able to work through our time zone changes and all the good stuff to have this conversation, because I'm really excited. You're an expert on attention span, and all the things that are related. And I really want to hear your perspective on how this impacts productivity.
Yeah. So my belief and my work has, for the last decade at least, I've been in the productivity industry for my whole professional career, but for the last decade, I've been sort of fixed on this idea that time management isn't helping us. And when we frame our productivity in terms of managing our time, not only does it not help us, but I think it really holds us back, because our problem is not that we don't have enough time.
Right.
We don't have the same amount of time. And on those days when you feel super productive and those days when you feel not so productive, you have the same amount of time.
You're right. I think what I'm hearing, it's a really important distinction, because you're looking at how you have a fixed resource, which is time, but how you invest that fixed resource is how you will determine what return you get out of that. So I think if we look at it more strategically by using our attention span and how we focus our time, what you're saying is that's definitely the better way to go than time management.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm saying is that how we manage our time only matters to the extent that we also devote our attention.
Yes. Okay. I like that. Let's go with that.
Yeah. Because if you and I decided to have this conversation, or if you and I just decided to go to lunch to, you know, get to know each other or whatever, and at some point I pulled out my phone. Oh, I'm just expecting something really important. Do you mind? Oh, wait, there's a text message. Let me just get this. Hold on. And so then you'd get bored and you'd pull out your phone. And I'm sure you see
that never
all the
happens.
Time,
come right? on now.
Right. You go into a restaurant and you see people just sitting there at the table together on their device.
So talking quality here, because we expect a return that is of quality. And if we're going to be smart with our time, we have to also bring the attention aspect of it, I think, is what you're saying. Let's really talk about attention, because my background in psychology makes me want to nerd out completely. And I hope our listeners stay with us for this journey. But the reality is, it's not just planning to have the attention there. It's also equipping ourselves and our bodies to give the best attention in the time that we've allocated. So let's talk a little bit about how we get it wrong first, and then maybe you can resource us as to how we can do it better.
Sure. So I think the first problem we have is that our technology has created in us, very much on purpose, a habit of distraction.
Mm.
And I think that we don't recognize that we have a habit of distraction. But our phones are designed, our websites are designed. I mean, the job of the internet is to keep you on the internet. Apps and social media and websites and platforms, they're designed using the same technology that slot machines
Ooh.
Are designed with. And I think that habits are really, really powerful, and they shape our lives, sometimes in ways we don't recognize, because by definition, habits are often things that we do without thinking.
Yes.
And we have a habit of distraction, and this is because we are conditioned to receive a distraction every few minutes. But the reason that we got conditioned for this is kind of our own fault, because most of us leave all of our devices open, all of our email, all of our chat tools, our text messages, our phones, the ringing, the dinging, the pinging, the buzzing, the vibrating,
yes.
right? And we set ourselves up for this, and we get some sort of notification every minute or two.
Right.
So then we have become conditioned to expect this notification every minute or two. So then even in the absence of that notification, we end up bored and we interrupt ourselves, right? We think, wait, there should be something now.
Craving that we have. And so yes.
That's right. So we're just chipping away at our attention span and it's getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And because we have this habit of distraction that is formed primarily at work when we're working, but habits are habits. And it's not like at the end of the workday, we could say, oh, I'm not going to have that habit anymore because now I'm going to go home and be with my family. Right.
Yeah.
And
you can't,
so we
you don't
end
really
up
turn
finding
it off.
Ourselves. Right. So we end up finding ourselves working even when we didn't want to work.
Totally. And I think all of us are guilty, even if it's not working, even if it's just TikTok videos, like, right? There's that movement by YouTube to have longer videos that are more instructional. Like you could do a how-to video in 5 seconds on a simple task, but they were shooting for a more entertaining type of video where people actually wanted to watch it and be entertained as well as learn something. And then we saw TikTok enter the scene and say, well, but wait a minute, we could also do fun videos that are a lot shorter. And so we're used to that fast-paced, attention-grabbing stuff. And then we hate boredom, right? Because then it seems like even though boredom is where our flow can actually happen, our creative juices can flow, we end up not wanting that. And we hijack our own ability to flow and be creative. Yes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a really big problem inside organizations because the leaders are subject to the same habit of distraction. And so then leaders end up engaging with the team in ways that maybe aren't so productive and in fact undermine their ability to get quality work done. So for example, we want them to do their work in a thoughtful way and we want them to really apply themselves mm-hmm. fully for, you know, using the tool that we hired them for, which was their brain, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? We hired them for their brain power. And then we put them in this position where they can't really activate that brain power for any extended period of time because the boss sends an email and 5 minutes later, the boss is like, didn't you get my email? You haven't responded yet.
Yes, we want that immediate gratification of the response.
Yeah. Or we say to the team things like, oh, well, you need to be responsive. Or we should respond in a timely manner, but we don't really address what that means. And so when we say words like timely or responsive, what the team hears is fast. Mm. I need to respond fast. And if I want to be really good at responding fast, well, what's the best version of fast? It's immediate. Mm. And so then what I'm hearing or how I'm interpreting this is that I need to respond to things immediately. Mm-hmm. And so if I need to respond to things immediately, then I need to have all of my communication channels open at all times so that I can look at every message as it arrives and decide if that one needs the immediate response. And if that's the case, how do I ever get any work done in a thoughtful way?
Yeah. And it seems like we've reprioritized then our goals because rather than say, let's work on a new product or understanding the market or how do we elevate our position, instead of having our people's brains on the important stuff, we've now minimized their role into a very simple goal of responding immediately. As you mentioned this example, I also want to highlight the fact that our relationships are also fragmented because we do hit and runs. We do quick little, hey, let me talk to Maura real quick. And I don't slow down to say, hey, Maura, it's okay to slow down. Maybe let's talk about how your life is and really develop deeper connections. Yes?
Absolutely. So the way that I define productivity is helping people achieve their significant results, okay. Right? So ultimately, my job is to help people be more productive. And the definition of the word productive I use is achieving a significant result. But the thing is, the significance changes with the time horizon. Mm. So what is significant to you right now would be different than what is significant to you by the end of the week versus the end of the month versus the end of the year. And ultimately, at the end of your lifetime, right, when we talk to people about what was important to you in your life, people say things like that I was kind, that I was loved, that I loved, that I made a difference in people's lives, that I had an impact, right? But that impact, that kindness, that love, it happens in the moment. Mm. And when you interact with the people in your life like this, yeah, no, I'm listening. Uh-huh. No, I hear you. Yeah. Right? We think in the grand scheme of things, they know I care. They know I'm interested. They know I love them. You know, whatever the situation, And maybe that's true in the grand scheme of things, but in that moment, they don't feel it. They think you don't care. They think you're not listening. And so ultimately, whether or not you think you have an impact happens in moments, and those moments are cumulative. And so if you can't control your attention, you really can't control your life. You can't live a life of choice. And instead you live a life of reaction and distraction.
And disconnected. Because we've effectively shut someone down when we do that with people that we are engaging with on a regular basis. And really, that text can wait, yes? I think what the biggest issue here is that we have to be intentional with how we give attention. And it's a very generous thing to do as a leader, but the return of that attention that we give our people is even more significant than focusing on the product or focusing on the quarterly goals. Because when we do that, our people are fulfilled and satisfied and happy and fulfilled. So I think I said fulfilled twice, but that's how important it is. Fulfillment in the workplace is huge. We have the great resignation. We have people that are awakening to the fact that I should be valued. My work should be somewhat rewarding more than just taking a paycheck home. And people are wanting to find cultures where they feel like some type of bond and connection and some type of deeper meaning to their work. And when the leader fails to show up as a person and be approachable and be relatable because they're not paying attention to the right things, this is a big handicap to the culture.
Not only do people not feel valued, but when we spend all day trying to stay on top of our communication and trying to offer that timely response and trying to meet everybody's expectations of a quick response to everything, then we can't really get anything important done. And so we finish our days feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm exhausted. I was busy all day and yet I got nothing done.
It's like going to the store and hungry you're eating junk food and then you come home with a bunch of junk food because you were hungry. And instead, once you're satisfied to that immediate craving, you feel no substance.
That's right. So we don't feel accomplished at the end of our days. And this habit of distraction is so detrimental because when we look at those things on our to-do list that seem like they're going to take a long time and that seem like they're really hard, we don't have the patience for it. Mm. Oh, that looks hard. Oh, I don't have time for that. And so we put that stuff off because our habit of distraction tells us we don't want to do it, but it's a lie. Mm-hmm. Because when we tackle those big important things, that's what makes us feel accomplished.
Okay.
That's what makes us feel productive.
Let's spend some quality time on this because this is actually really huge. Our negative emotions become associated with the actual substantial work that we should be doing. And so even the thought of tackling something that actually can be very satisfying and fulfilling and that we're very capable of accomplishing if we managed our attention then becomes something we dread and it weighs us down.
Yes.
So it affects us in multiple ways. Not only are we not getting it done, but also that negative association, even if it hasn't happened, even if I haven't experienced a negative emotion of actually carrying it out, just the idea that my brain imagines it as being something negative, it's as if it were a negative experience, even if in reality it's not.
Yeah. So our habit of distraction does two things that are really damaging. I would like to say that, oh, your habit of distraction, it makes you distracted all day long. It just makes you distracted all day long. I wish I could say that, but it's so much more insidious than just making you distracted all day long. What happens is this habit of distraction chips away at our attention span because we expect a distraction every few minutes. Mm. So even in the absence of a distraction, we find ourselves bored and we go seek out the distraction. Hey, there should be something now, right? So it chips away at our attention span, but it also chips away at our patience.
Mm.
I would ask your listeners to ask themselves if you feel less patient than you used to be. And most people say 100% yes, right?
Yes.
They're raising both hands in my audiences, right? When I'm out speaking, yes, yes, I am less patient and more distracted. And that is because this habit of distraction chips away at our attention span. And so those things that really make us feel satisfied at the end of the day, those things that are perhaps a little bit challenging, but the things that we are hired for, right? We are hired for our brain power. And we can only really manifest our best selves when we can apply ourselves for more than a couple of minutes at a time, right? So when we can fully muster what I call brain power momentum, right? That's when we can tackle that important meaty, thoughtful work that makes us feel satisfied and accomplished at the end of the day. But our habit of distraction says, no, 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 you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. It's too hard. You don't have time.
This should be important to every leader, because we need to really take this bull by the horns and change it.
Absolutely. And sometimes it is inadvertently reinforced by the leader because the leader is like, no, you took too long to go back to the customer. You took too long to get back to me, or this stuff is important and we need to be on top of it. And what happens is they inadvertently reinforce the idea that that really thoughtful, important work should get squeezed out.
Yeah, because we're masking this as quality service to the client. And in reality, it's detrimental to our people and it's detrimental to the final product for the client. So I think we need to maybe step back and look at the long game a little bit more. So how do we make this transition, Maura?
Yeah, I mean, I think that by accident, a lot of leaders are using a metric of success that is speed, right? They're using speed as a metric of success. Mm. And so what I ask the leaders that I work with to think about is that really the differentiator that you want? We are good because we are fast. Mm. Because that's sort of like saying you should go with us because we're cheap, right? You can only get so cheap and so fast. I would challenge you to think, is speed really what you want, or is quality? Is creativity? Is innovation? Is uniqueness, right? Are those things really what you want to be your differentiators? And if so, then you have to rethink this idea of speed.
Yes, I think slow is fast. I'm in the background of law enforcement, and when we're learning to fire our weapon system, that's one of the sayings at the range. And because you don't think about it, pulling the trigger on a weapon seems easy. And if you just do it real fast, you'll land all your rounds. But in reality, you want precision and you want marksmanship. And you want precision and marksmanship and really get good quality target acquisition so that you're not causing collateral damage. Slow is fast. Breathe. Take your time with it. You'll get faster, but you have to put in quality reps. And so I think quality reps in the context that we're having a conversation here is getting quality reps in the right stuff. And it is in maybe starting my morning, spending it brainstorming and doing the actual work, because that's when I'm most attentive. Or let's talk some of that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people write things on their list in a way that makes it hard for them to actually get moving on it. Mm. We write things on our list in a way that really isn't actionable. We use these verbs that are very vague, right? So we put things on our list like implement the strategy or create the plan or organize the event, right? Well, you have 10 minutes at the beginning of your workday. Quick, implement.
Oh, geez. Right?
That doesn't mean anything.
Right.
But we don't take the time to really think about our work, break it down. What's the outcome I'm trying to achieve? And what are the steps that are going to get me there? So we write it down and we never take any action on it because we don't even know what that means.
You're right to say that having those broad descriptions are kind of a waste, because we all have a notion of what it means to do the plan or do the strategy. But in reality, there's a lot of small pieces that have to come together. And those are all important, and we can't cut corners. And I think there's value to telling people it's okay to take the time to notice the little things.
So it's okay to have a list of your big picture stuff. Mm-hmm. And that list can have things like implement the strategy and create the plan and organize the conference. But then if you don't also have another place where those individual steps live, so that whether you have 2 minutes or 2 hours, you can make progress. Mm-hmm. So for example, if on your big project list, it says something like implement the strategy, then maybe on your next step list, you have something like meet with the team to collect ideas for the strategy or something.
Right.
Or email the team or choose a time for the team meeting. All of those things can be broken down into that single next step, but we don't take that time to think about what are those single next steps.
Yeah. And I think in conjunction with that, we can certainly allocate time for the emails and only answer emails in a certain time and only do those distractions in certain times. Can we talk about that part?
Absolutely.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Powerful at Work Radio. If you're ready for more freedom from the day-to-day so you can properly rest, dream, and be more effective as a business owner, I want to invite you to our upcoming free training where I'm going to share my easy 5-part process for making sure your team feels truly seen, heard, and understood. For more details or to register for the training, visit rosaponceleon.com. There, you'll also find tons of resources for growing as a business owner so you can go all in on your team while they go all in on bringing your vision to life.
There are two primary ways that people can begin to manage their attention. Okay. And I cover these in my book on the topic. Okay. So the first thing is that we have to control our environment, right? So leaders especially say things to me like, well, I'm busy all day because my team is interrupting me all day and I need to be available to them because otherwise it will hold up their work and they won't be able to get anything done. So I have to be available to them. And this is so detrimental in so many ways. Number one, your team doesn't really need you for every little thing.
They shouldn't. If you've done your job, sorry, I got to interrupt because this is huge. If you've done your job as a leader, A, you're right, they shouldn't need you. But B, you should have equipped them enough to make decisions independent of you and to understand your decision-making process so that they don't feel the need to check back with you. Like they understand Rosa enough to know that this is going to work. Rosa will be good with this for A, B, and C reasons, and they can articulate it because I've empowered them. Unless I didn't do my job, in which case they won't be able to say that.
Well, and that's the thing. I think that leaders want to be helpful and that's great. But when we are too available as leaders, we teach our team to depend on us. We teach our team to be disempowered, right? We reinforce this idea that if your team comes to you with all these questions and you always answer the questions for them, then you teach them, this is how your job goes. Every time you run into any bump in the road, you come to me and I'll work it out for you. Instead of using expressions like, I trust your judgment. That's your decision. You got this. You don't need me.
Yeah.
Right. And that is a way to help your team by empowering them and to teach them, this is your job and you don't need me for every little thing. And the benefit that you get from that as a leader is that you have more time to get your important work done because you are interrupted less.
I think as leaders, we need to see ourselves as more of a support role. They're the leader of that project and I'm just supporting. So if they need me at all, it's just maybe to be a sounding board, but not necessarily to solve the problem for them.
Yeah. And if it's just a sounding board, then you can be available much less often. Mm-hmm. What I suggest is that leaders, instead of being available for every little thing, you make dedicated time to talk to your team. Maybe it's once a week, maybe it's once every 2 weeks, depending on the nature of your relationship with your team members and how much responsibility they have. But in those meetings, my recommendation is that those leaders don't use those meeting times to say, great, now tell me all your problems and I'll tell you all the answers, right? Instead, what I suggest is that those leaders open those meetings with open-ended questions like, what kind of challenges did you face this week? What did you do about it? How did that go?
Mm-hmm.
And then celebrate the successes. Great, it sounds like you did a really good job. And sort of pull the lessons out, whether it went well or whether it went badly. Well, what did you learn from that situation, right? And not that you should let them off the hook if it didn't go well. You know, ooh, yeah, that sounds like it didn't go very well. Right. But I bet you learned and you won't make that mistake next time. So we teach people in some ways to be lazy and to depend on us, right?
Yeah, and I think any relationship that's codependent is unhealthy. There's some dysfunction there that probably needs to be fixed. And so ultimately, what I'm hearing you say is when it comes to using our attention wisely, less is more. We don't have to give as much attention as we think we need to give to certain things when we do it correctly.
Yes, absolutely. If we just single task, right? If we do one thing at a time and we complete it or we bring it to a stopping point, but we have dedicated our full attention for that 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes to that thing, research shows that it will get done faster and better.
Yes.
Than if we had tried to do it when we stop every 5 minutes to check our email and to deal with the person who just walked up to your office door and to read your Slack messages and to check your text messages and all that kind of stuff. If you just eliminate all that, do the thing.
Yes.
Do it well. Yes. Single task.
Yes.
It'll get done faster. It'll get done better. And then check.
Because research also shows that people don't multitask. We just divide our attention and we basically spend a little here, a little there, and we're all scatterbrained, basically. It's getting done, but quality could be so much better if we single tasked.
Yeah, we call it multitasking. Multitasking really implies that we are literally doing two things at one time, but we're not. We stop the thing we're doing. We talk to the person who interrupted us, and then we stop talking to them and we go back to the thing we were doing when they interrupted us. It's task switching. Mm. It's not truly multitasking.
Yes.
And so when you switch like that, all the things you do take longer and the quality is lower, and it fragments our attention and it contributes to that habit of distraction.
And it's not as fun. Ultimately, we're not having as much fun.
No.
That's why we start to dread work, because we're worn out.
Absolutely.
And we get home and we're just like, what just happened?
Yeah, exactly.
So Maura, you've said a lot. I feel like we just scratched the surface. And for people that are more interested in productivity and attention, where would we find you?
Yes, online at maurathomas.com is the place to get all things related to what we've talked about today. maurathomas.com/books is where you can find the books that I mentioned. maurathomas.com/free-resources is where people can sign up for some mini courses and some workbooks and all kinds of things that can improve their productivity and improve their ability to achieve their significant results.
I love it. We'll be sure to include the links in the show notes. And thank you so much for bringing such wealth of knowledge and hopefully some action items for our listeners. I encourage our listeners to reach back and let us know what you implemented and how did it bring you the results of productivity for your people.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Rosa. It's been a pleasure.
Same.
Thanks for listening to Powerful at Work Radio. If you subscribe now, you're going to hear from some truly amazing guests who will help you shift into a new approach to leadership so you can develop a healthy relationship with your team and truly maximize your impact. We'll explore stories from experts who are daring to do work differently, and we want to invite you into the conversation. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast app. We're excited to help you lead a high-performance team with simple advice that you can start using right now for maximum results.